I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We begin hour three, which means you may have missed the first 2 hours. Huh. Not good. That's why we have the iHeart app, the John and Ken On Demand podcast, and you could hear everything you miss. It goes online after 4 o'clock.
There you go. All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, you'll have another shot at some money. We continue the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. A keyword will be revealed. John Cobalt is very kind to repeat that word a couple of times. Follow the instructions. You could be the next winner of the money. A quick reminder that the Moist Line is back in 2 days already during this hour, and you can leave messages using the iHeartRadio app. So you can get John and Ken On Demand. You can leave messages for the Moist Line using the microphone icon. Call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, what do they call it? It's the doom loop. That's the term they're giving for cities around the country that are facing serious problems between homelessness, crime, the pandemic leading many people to move out, high cost of housing. They can do their job from anywhere, so therefore they have opted to leave. The doom loop means that tax revenues dwindle, and some of these cities end up in huge financial trouble because all the tax base is disappearing. And at some point, like in San Francisco, they're pretty much left with homeless drug addicts. That seems to be the way it's going. A few tourists. The big announcement came yesterday that Nordstrom will close its last two San Francisco locations. It's got a spot at the Westfield San Francisco Center, and there's a Nordstrom Rack on Market Street.
Isn't this a tragedy, Deborah?
I love Nordstrom, and I love Nordstrom Rack. Yes, if I was living out there, it would be.
That's right. Women are probably crying all over the Bay Area.
It's not fair.
We are leaving because the dynamics of the downtown San Francisco market have changed dramatically over the past several years, impacting customer foot traffic to our stores and our ability to operate successfully. It's a very nice way of saying
it. Sure. The wealthy women who shop at Nordstrom's are terrified of the crazed homeless, drug addicts, and mental patients in the streets. Hmm. That's in English. That's the truth. And they also are closed Saks Off Fifth, which is that Saks.
Oh, I love
that
place too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the outlet for Saks, right?
And
Anthropology and Union Square closed. Office Depot closed. CB2, Bed Bath & Beyond, and the Container Store. Well, a lot of Bed Bath & Beyonds are closing.
Everything's closing with Bed Bath & Beyond. Yeah, and then you had Whole Foods closing the other day.
And Whole Foods closed its store, right?
I heard a report yesterday that Union Square is getting devastated.
I haven't been there in some months, but I noticed when I was there, it's pretty empty. You go there on a weekend, there's just nothing there but tourists, and that's starting to come back a bit, but...
This is the northern side of San Francisco, because I went to see the Mets play the Giants a couple of weekends ago, and so where Oracle Park is, along the water, and Fisherman's Wharf, and North
Beach.
That's
where the tourists are, right?
Yeah, that's all nice. They've been able to keep the insanity at bay, but... Right. Other neighborhoods like Union Square, the Tenderloin District, it's the third circle of hell. Look, this is an entirely self-inflicted wound. What did they think was going to happen? This is the question I seem to be asking all day. What did you think was going to happen? You weren't going to prosecute criminals anymore. You weren't going to force homeless off the street. You were going to indulge every mental patient, every drug addict, every crazy person. You were going to indulge all this. Tolerate it. No, well, look what you got.
We believe in harm reduction.
Okay.
So let the person shoot up and we'll make sure they don't die with some Narcan.
You have all your cool, trendy George Orwell phrases. That's great. You have this rock solid ideology. You're a believer. Well, now look what happened. Now what? Now what do you do? People got up and left. They moved out. The workers moved out. The stores are moving out. Residents are moving out. Nobody wants to be around it. Now what do you do? Like, what does it take? You're turning the place into Detroit.
And there's one guy on the board of supervisors who was appointed by the mayor. His name is Matt Dorsey. They call him a moderate in the story I'm looking at. But he says, since my appointment to the board, I've been hearing that the mall and its tenants have real public safety concerns. I understand and share those concerns. I chose to seek this job because of them. He's like the one person on the board who's saying, let's wake up here. We're losing people. We're losing businesses. We can't act like this isn't a problem.
A lot of them. The foot traffic in downtown San Francisco is off by two-thirds. Two-thirds. One of the office buildings, the value of the building is down by 80% from $300 million to $60 million. So you've had the earthquake, you've had the disaster.
Right.
It's not like this is doom mongering. It's happened. You killed the place. So they're still in power. They're still in power, and the people voted for this. The people agreed to this. The people destroyed their own city.
This is what Dorsey said. I hear this from residents a lot. I appreciate your proposing policies, but what are you going to do right now about the drug scene in front of my house? He says, I've been in community meeting after community meeting. I've never seen San Franciscans as close to pitchforks and torches as they are now. I get yelled at by my residents, and I understand their impatience.
Well,
they apparently don't vote that way, although apparently he did beat a progressive who tried to unseat him in the last election.
Well, it's not just him. One guy on the supervisor's board isn't going to change anything.
It's not.
There has to be a wholesale change in how they think, because they're extreme progressive. The whole city is. They're not democratic. They're extreme progressive. It's a failed ideology. It doesn't work in the real world. You know, and you could argue this. It's been argued for many years now, and they would just say, no, that's exaggerated. That's not happening. Well, there's better ways to do things. No, there's not better ways to do things. When you have bad guys, you put them in prison. There's no better way. When you have mental patients, you put them in a lockdown mental facility. You have homeless people, you force them into some kind of shelter. And if they don't, chase them out of town. And there is no better way. You tried your better way now for, God, 20 years since Gavin Newsom took over, I think in 2004. It's almost 20 years. 20 years, had it your way. Look at it. You happy? Now your sales tax revenues are way down. Your property tax revenues are way down. Your income tax revenues are way down. Population is way down. Stores, businesses, way down. Now there's no Whole Foods. Now there's no Nordstrom's. Now there's no Walgreens. I mean, no sex. What do you want? It's done. It's cooked. It's over. You killed it. Congratulations.
Oh, good Lord, though.
Nice ideology. Really worked out.
The progressives that are still left there, wow. First of all, they questioned why Whole Foods would open up this huge store with expensive stuff in it when it doesn't match what the residents can afford to pay.
You know something? Anybody who listens to 5 minutes to a progressive, you ought to check yourself into a mental health
clinic. Well, they really twist everything.
No, it's a religious cult.
Well, Dorsey brought up a good point. He says they're gaslighting people.
Yes, they are.
They're trying to make you see that what's happening is not really happening.
Gaslighting. That's lying. They lie. They gaslight. They bully. They're so obsessed. They're like religious zealots. Okay, they're like when religious zealots moved into a country and tried to force everybody to join their religion, or they'll destroy your town. That's exactly what this crowd does. And you know what? I people in San Francisco, the ones who moved out, that was a great thing to do, because you can say in life, you know what? I'm not going to play. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't care about your stupid philosophy, what you believe in. Who cares? You're wrong. I'm getting out. You don't ever have to engage and argue with them, debate them. They're wrong. They're insane. Sorry. So get out. So people got out. Nobody wanted to live like that. Now, I tell you, the people who voted this way for so many years and then ran out, well, you're a bunch of stinking cowards, huh? Set fire to the place and then you leave? Well, I guess, you know, it's a free country.
He says he's making progress on the Board of Supervisors and putting something on the ballot to hire more police officers.
Oh, I heard that today. They're 540 police officers short. And I think that proposal would hire 350. But hey, this was defund the police central a few years ago. Well, there you go. Got your way.
They have 1,500 cops to serve 800,000 residents. That does seem low.
Look, again, I don't have to know the math. You look around and see what happened. Yeah, I guess it's low.
But the number of residents has dropped, too. I don't know if that population number is accurate.
Yeah, but what they have left are the crazy people and the criminals. Because the good residents don't need the police. Right. You need whatever police necessary to take care of the bad guys and the crazy people. That's what you need. I don't know what the magic number is, but clearly it's not enough. And the police that are working aren't allowed to do anything. You know, if you just took the existing police, even if they're 500 short, you just take the existing police and let them do what they're meant to do, you'd see a significant improvement. But they won't do that. Well, good.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, well, we bring you back to L.A., the sad state of the criminal justice system in the county of L.A., under its district attorney, George Gascon. Of course, he's up for election next year. Getting a lot of emails of someone put us on his mailing list asking for money. He seems to be on a rant lately. I guess he's concerned with all these people already challenging him. There's already several candidates.
Several good candidates, too.
Yeah, seeking to replace him, actual deputy DAs. Anyway, this latest chapter on another person dies because of George Gascon's policies is brought to us by Fox News reporter Bill Malusian.
Sources in LADA George Gascon's office tell me this case is a prime example of the disaster that can happen when California's loose mental health diversion laws combine with Gascon's soft-on-crime approach. So take a look. This is 23-year-old Jade Simone Brookfield. Law enforcement sources tell me in 2020, she was charged with attempted murder after she stabbed a woman in the chest, puncturing her lung. Her charges later reduced to assault with a deadly weapon, a violent felony, but instead of jail time, Brookfield was given mental health diversion. She later absconded and was cut from the diversion program, but then was re-enrolled and given another chance. Then in 2021, Brookfield was arrested for battery against a peace officer instead of jail. I'm told she was given mental health diversion. The case was dismissed. Later that same year, Brookfield was arrested again, this time for making criminal threats, after sources tell me she assaulted a man, pulled out two knives and threatened to kill him. But the case was rejected by LADA George Gascon's office, they say, for a lack of evidence. Then we fast forward to this year. In March, while still on diversion from her first knife attack, Brookfield was arrested again for another felony assault with a deadly weapon after sources tell me she repeatedly swung a knife at a bus driver who missed her exit. Inexplicably, Brookfield was then ordered released from custody with an ankle monitor despite her violent history and despite her blatant violation of her diversion program. And that ended up being a deadly decision. Just weeks later in April, Brookfield was arrested again, this time for murder. After law enforcement sources tell me she fatally stabbed a man named Dennis Banner in an argument in the street. She had her ankle monitor on at the time. Her diversion is now terminated, and only now is she finally being held in custody after allegedly killing an innocent man. And I reached out to LADA George Gascon's office for a statement on this. They told me they appreciate the public concern when somebody in a mental health program allegedly commits a serious crime. They say their prosecutors make the best decisions they can in light of all the available information, and that their hearts go out to the victims in this matter. Quote, we stand ready to support them on their journey to healing. And guys, back out here live, law enforcement sources tell me this case should cause a serious reevaluation of mental health diversion policies, not just here in LA, but at the state level as well.
I'm going to vomit. Don't you want to vomit? Isn't it horrific?
Hard to believe, right?
I mean, Gascon is so dangerous. He's so evil. He's such a bad guy. He's so wrong. So this father is dead. He's got kids who have no dad. He's 40 years old. Father of two young girls, Dennis Banner, dead. Because how many crimes did she commit? Like, this was her fifth? How many times was she put in the diversion?
All I kept hearing was mental health diversion.
She was put in the diversion program four times? The mental health diversion program for this woman was a complete fraud. It doesn't work, clearly. It's nonsense. It's a cover story. They want to destroy our way of life. And they always have these covers that you're not supposed to argue with. Well, lady, you know, are you a mental health expert? Do you have a degree? Do you have a degree? When anybody knows, anybody with a working brain knows that if you let a crazy, violent person out, they're going to keep attacking people. There's no way to fix this. That's what I don't understand. There's no way to fix this. And they do. They have lied to everyone over and over. They've bullied and intimidated people. Everyone's afraid to fight back and say, no, this is going to end. No more of these mental diversion programs. What the bleep does that mean? What does that mean? What is that? What do they do in these rooms with the mental diversion program? What does she do?
These are alternatives to incarceration.
What is it?
We just talk about a few weeks ago? The LA County supervisors want to close all the jails and turn everything over to diversion programs.
Yeah,
this is what's going to happen.
So you'll have thousands of these crazy people on the street, this Jade Brookfield. There'll be thousands of them. There is no mental diversion program, okay?
It seems to me that she solves her anger issues by stabbing people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she got in trouble on the bus for not paying the fare.
Yep.
She whipped out a knife.
Yep.
I don't know why she stabbed this woman in the chest who punctured her lung, and then she stabbed this poor guy in the tree in the street, but I bet you they had some sort of disagreement over, parking, anything.
She has brain damage. She completely loses control when she's upset. There's actually a little piece of your brain that puts the brake on your impulses, puts the brake on your temper. The people who have bad tempers, that part of the brain is not constructed very well. It didn't develop, or maybe it was damaged. The prefrontal cortex. It doesn't develop in men until their late 20s. That's why if you're under 25, you can't rent a car, because you can't control your impulses, because your prefrontal cortex hasn't developed yet. Some people have one that you're just born damaged. You're born brain damaged. Some of them are traumatized. Whatever the story is, her brain doesn't work. You can't fix it. You can't build a new prefrontal cortex. You can't do it. So every time she boils over the slightest frustration or inconvenience, she's going to pull out a knife and stab somebody to death. That's what she does. Gascon is so beyond evil, so beyond an idiot. I sometimes think he must be a Russian agent or a Chinese agent who's paid to destabilize our society. In fact, you know, it's pretty much the case, because George Soros has financed all these crazed prosecutors. New York, Chicago, L.A., Philadelphia, it's all the same story. And it is like a foreign influence to ruin America from the inside. What? Who would do this? What
not rational to change, person but would to do ruin, this? Right?
To change it, to ruin it.
Well, you're saying not to change it, to ruin it, because if you ruin it, there's just, unless you're talking about starting over again.
Well,
after they
destroy our domination, to destroy our way of life, to ruin our capitalistic nature, to make amends for our violent, racist, sexist past. You know, they got a whole bunch of them. You know, some people destroy just to destroy. Like when they're, let's say the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a lot of people like chaos. All right,
Lakers win a championship, right? What generally happens? You get hundreds of people in the street. What do? They throw rocks through windows. They turn cars
upside
down.
Great time for mayhem.
They said,
anarchists.
And why do they do it? Just to do it. And I think there are people on a larger stage who want to do that to a whole country, not just a block of stores and restaurants, but what the hell? Let's see if we could turn America upside down. Wouldn't Russia love that? Wouldn't China love that?
Wouldn't you like to go wild and just go crazy and break stuff? No? Every now and then? Remember they had those rooms? I don't know if they still have these businesses. You could come there and smash things just to get your anger out.
Yeah.
They were big for a while, a few years ago.
Well, yeah, this is
lamps and
this is like a more sophisticated version of it.
Take an axe to a couch or to
That's what Gascon is doing. That's why George Soros paid for his candidacy. They want this to happen. Look what they did to San Francisco, one of the most beautiful cities in the country, one of the largest markets in the country.
Right.
Look what they did to it.
And a lot of people that are left living there just are still in denial.
Yep.
Oh, it's just the right conservative exaggeration.
Good.
Then you read a survey that half of them said they've been a victim of a break-in. And I'm like, well, I don't think that's the case in most places.
No, I know. And it shows you a lot of these people, their voting patterns are the voting patterns of the mentally ill. Really, there's no other explanation for this. If anybody votes for George Gascon after this, it's because they're mentally damaged.
Yeah, they should be taken away.
He has been so destructive. I mean, this poor guy got stabbed to death. What? Why? Because Gascon has some wacky theory, or he's paid to have this wacky theory. You notice
crazy people on the streets, right? All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. Well, we always enjoy it when there's a reporter that likes to torture the presidential spokeshole. The White House press secretary these days is now Karine Jean-Pierre. And of course, about the only one that will torture her is a Fox News correspondent by the name of Peter Ducey.
Everybody else does the tongue bath.
Right. Now, when Trump was president, we had the opposite. They all sat there and debated with him for hours, but he enjoyed it, honestly. And he took a lot of questions himself. I mean, he had spokesholes, but by the end, what was that woman's name? Sarah? She's now governor.
She's the governor. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Yeah.
She was the wall. She just didn't bother with anything. This woman apparently likes to get into a back and forth. So honestly, she had this coming. She said the other day at one of her press conferences that illegal immigration is down 90%. So here's what happened yesterday when Fox News correspondent Peter Ducey asked her to explain this.
If the border is secure, as the administration has said, then why would we need to send 1,500 active duty U.S. troops down there?
Because we need more work. We need more work needs to be done, Peter. We put forth a comprehensive immigration legislation, and Congress, Republicans in Congress, can refuse to act. And so the president has used the tools that he has in front of him to prepare ahead of Title 42 lifting. As you know, that is happening in the next couple of days. And so we are putting DHS, Department of State, is putting forth processes to deal with the changes that are going to be ahead of us. And so that is what's important here. And that's what you've been seeing for the past several months. You've heard from DHS. You've heard from the State Department on what we're putting in place to deal with the border once Title 42 lifts.
Well, there was more. We should have gotten it. You said yesterday that when it comes to illegal migration, you've seen it come down by more than 90%. Where did that number come from? And she just started stammering while I was speaking. CBP is telling us a number. Well, I hear you. I'm about to answer. 136,000 people, Ducey says. I'm about to answer you. That's more than this fiscal year so far. And she said, well, if the dramatics would come down just a little bit.
Yeah, she's...
She repeated herself. If the dramatics would just come down a little bit.
She was lying. Ducey's the only one who will point out that she's lying.
She said she was speaking about the parolee program. And it was not, like, what the hell is that?
Because it was a dodge.
It was gas.
But this is why you're paid to have this position. You don't answer the question. You take it off on another tangent. You filibuster for a minute. You know no one's going to follow up. And then if Ducey persists, you basically say, hey, you had your question. This is what they teach in spokeshost school. You know, I always wonder what kind of training they go through, and they must go through training. How do you handle this? How do you handle that? Well, here's how you handle when you get an obnoxious question that's on point. Is you make up some BS about something tangentially related. Drone on for a while. Everybody forgets what the original question is. And then that's it. Dismissed.
Now, the next question didn't come from Ducey, but this is a good one. Do you know who actually asked this question? The Daily Mail. And, of course, if it's the Daily Mail out of the UK, it must be salacious. So they were asking you to comment on Hunter Biden's love child. He had to appear in court over child support for the daughter he has with a stripper, a former stripper. Here's what happened.
I wanted to ask about the trial going on in Arkansas with Hunter Biden and the child support. Are the president and first lady monitoring that? And how come they haven't acknowledged the seventh grandchild?
I'm not going to speak to that from here.
That's it.
Okay, so here's the answer.
She put up the wall.
I heard an interesting analysis of this. All right, Hunter Biden and Jim Biden, Joe's brother, and Joe have all been up to no good for a lot of years, right? Money from China, money from Ukraine, a lot of money being shoveled around in exchange for influence. They want to meet people. They want laws passed. So that's basic gutter level politics, right? Bribes in exchange for some kind of action or some kind of access. And that's what the Bidens have been doing for a long time. Hunter Biden, I don't know why he would do this, but he goes and files a complaint in Arkansas to try to get out of child support payments. Well, this is going to open up a lot about Hunter's finances, right?
Yes, because he's trying to reduce the payments.
Right, because the stripper girlfriend...
Well, he's a dumb guy. He denied being the father of this child. Sure, I'll take a DNA test.
But the White House staff should have picked up on this danger and said,
told them to sit down.
Get a campaign donor to fill the hole.
You're right. This is opening them up to all his financials.
Right. And it's like, well, this is the stupidest thing to do when you're desperately trying to avoid a federal indictment for tax evasion at the least, and then other things that are going to drag your dad, the president, and your uncle into some scandalous mess here. Why are you giving a judge the right to open up your financials? Obviously, it's not going to make sense. Where did Hunter Biden get all this money he's got? What is this fake work he does for China and Ukraine? What is this? Well, we know what it is.
Well, in a story that's only being covered today by, for lack of a better word, the conservative right-wing websites, apparently the U.S. House Oversight Committee, which is now run by Republicans, is asking the FBI, actually they issued a subpoena. Apparently there is a file where a whistleblower links Joe Biden to a criminal scheme involving money for policy decisions during his vice presidency. This is what they've been looking for. They want to find out more about the Biden family business dealings in China, Mexico, Russia, and Ukraine. And they think that there might be something in this file that they can use to really kick off a bigger investigation.
Well, Hunter and James Biden, the brother, got millions of dollars from Chinese and Ukrainian businessmen. Why would they give the Biden family that much money? By coincidence, Joe is sitting in as vice president? I mean, it's so blatant. It's just sitting there. And of course, the FBI covered it up.
Right.
Of course, they're going to cover it up.
It says that the document includes a precise description of how an alleged criminal scheme was employed, as well as its purpose. But we don't have the specifics because apparently they're in the file. So is it they just sat on it then? Is the whistleblower not considered credible?
No, they sat on it to protect him. That's what you're in charge of the FBI, right? Obama was in charge of the FBI at the time.
Right.
So they sit on it and it disappears into a file. Yeah. That's the way business is conducted in the real world. And it's always been this way for all politicians. Just happens to be Biden this time. But no, he's like an old-time crook. He is. And
I go back to when he first got into the Senate, he complained there just wasn't enough money to do this.
Yeah.
He hasn't complained about that in the last 10 or 15 years because, yeah, he's probably using his connections.
He's always had a working...
to rake in money.
He was probably born with that attitude, a working class chip on their shoulder that, you know, the little guy always gets screwed, the big guys hoard all the money. I mean, I grew up in a working class environment. I remember that talk. I remember that attitude. My dad had some of that attitude. He thought, you know, there were people on his end of things who have to go work in the factory for 50 years. And then he knew they were rich guys and he always suspected that they're always manipulating the money and they're always going to win out in the end. And he's right. It's not wrong, but you know, trying to prove it to the extent that you get people thrown in jail, that almost never happens. But generally, yeah, that's what goes on.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, we're about to finish up the show, but if you missed any of it, you can pick it up and the podcast will pop up there just after 4 o'clock at KFIAM640.com or, of course, on the iHeartRadio app. From the celebrity world, there was concerns this morning because friends were asking people to pray for actor Jamie Foxx. He left the scene of a movie shoot to be hospitalized. That was some time ago. And this call this morning for people to pray for him led people to believe he had taken a turn for the worse. We don't know that. We don't even know what the hospitalization was over. But the world is now relaxing. And this is where I'm a little bit cynical, because he broke his silence, but it's a statement in pictures on social media. I don't really know if that qualifies for breaking your silence. Anybody can put out a message for you.
Well, yeah, you don't know that he...
But he said, appreciate all the love, feeling blessed. That was the message that was posted. So people took that to mean that he's doing much better.
Well, it doesn't mean anything. He didn't say that. He doesn't say I'm doing much better.
A bot could say that.
That's right. It may have been a bot.
I don't know. I mean, if he actually did an interview from his hospital bed and I heard him talking, it would be different. But I don't know that that qualifies as breaking the silence, I guess.
No, it's clickbait.
Yeah, I guess it is.
In fact, breaking the silence is code for clickbait because the Daily Mail and the Post uses that phrase a lot. And every time I've clicked breaking the silence, there's never been a payoff. So I resolve not to click breaking the silence stories anymore.
Yeah, he was hospitalized in April, and his daughter had put out a message that he was on his way to recovery, but then it was deleted. So there was some sort of medical complication, but they didn't give any additional details as to what happened.
People are going to have to live without the knowledge of somebody's private medical issues.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't know how people can get through the day without knowing the intricacies of every celebrity's medical problem, but hey, life's tough.
Exhaustion. Remember that one? Resting comfortably.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of drug addiction, it was exhaustion.
Exhaustion was right. What we always heard back.
Right. Because when you feel exhausted, what's the first thing you do? You call the hospital and they always have a bed for you, right? Oh, yes.
Take a nap.
Come to our exhaustion wing. What the hell? Exhaustion. There's no such thing.
Also, from the world of shooting and violence, well, we know there's a shooting down in Atlanta. They're looking for a guy that killed one person, but there apparently was an altercation at a Tesla charging station in Colorado where one guy shot the other. Mm. They believe it was a dispute over who was next to plug into the Tesla supercharger.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be more of that.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
There's more and more electric cars.
If there's more cars being sold, there's going to be more fights. Yeah. And you know what? Tesla at some point is going to open up their chargers to all electric vehicles. So that will bring a lot more people there.
Oh, yeah. Probably. No.
There's kind of I haven't seen a line in a while, but usually the first car that starts to wait for an open stall, you line up behind him, but there's other people that don't get that. And they drive around just looking, and if they see somebody pull out, they take the stall. It's like, there's a line behind me. Almost like the grocery store kind of.
Yeah. No, we're going to have gunfights. I'm looking forward to that.
You're looking forward to
Tesla
that.
Owners in gunfights. Yes.
Okay.
Fighting.
Pleasant thoughts from you.
Fighting for over electrical charges. That's going to be great.
I don't think it's worth taking out a gun.
Somebody will. That's Gavin Newsom's world.
Somebody apparently just did.
Yeah. Right. People fight over an electrical charge. That's our future.
Doesn't take much to set people off.
Conway is here.
Hey now. Hey, in Glendale, just down the street from us, there was a construction site collapse. You see that? People trapped and it was crazy. Yeah. It was a crazy story, John. Here's another one. Ken, this is for you.
Talk about clickbait.
No, there were three construction workers that were, the building collapsed, and then three construction workers are caught up in their lifts, you know, what they call hydraulic lifts or whatever.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get them down. So it was a.
They're still there?
No, they just got them down. Very tense.
Oh, they got them down. Yeah. Okay.
The Fed raises interest rates by another 0.25%. I don't know what that means.
It's exciting.
Striking writers fear that AI could partially replace them, and they're right.
Yeah.
And then we got the blast of winter coming in, Ken.
No, it's going to rain.
Yes, and snow.
Ken promised no more rain.
No, there's rain.
It'll be very light tomorrow morning.
Rain in May.
Yeah.
I did not promise no more rain. Right. I promised that April would not look like March and February, and I was right.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
But now we have rain in May.
Yeah. And I'm predicting July is going to be warm.
Maybe, finally.
Tim Conway in the Weather Center.
Because I'm beginning to believe in global cooling.
And tonight
I'm with you. Yeah. Ken, I know you're saying it tongue-in-cheek, but I think you're onto something.
Yeah?
I think there's a global cooling thing going on.
I will really enjoy that. If we have like 10 years of really cold weather here,
yes,
and we've had this year, that's going to be great.
But you know who we got to blame if we go global cooling?
What?
These a-holes with the electric cars.
Oh, no.
If they just burned more gas, we would have been fine.
Yeah, you're right. Forgot about that. You take more flights.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, come on.
Ostracize them.
Dig dog.
Dig dog.
Michael Crozier.
Here he comes.
The news.
Go. Yeah, ding dog.
Live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kiwi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.